Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kane and King.
And it's a very good morning if you're joining us for the first time this morning, Fireball Friday, with a big hour still to come. Sammy Edmund with the captain's run taking over after us, and still a lot to get through this morning, including the Friday agenda, and Heath Shaw will join us. But live in the studio now, he's been good enough to stop by, is the CEO of the Coaches Association. Alistair Nicholson is his name. Alistair, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks very much, Kane.
Has it been a challenging week for you personally with the events going on and the commentary surrounding it?
It certainly has. I think it really is, from our perspective, a wake-up call. And I think we've been raising the alarm bells about a lot of things in the coaching profession. But, you know, it's laid bare this week even more. I think, you know, we're going into this weekend with, you know, 32 years less of senior coach experience for whatever reason. So, it certainly has been a challenging week. But I think what it does do is bring the coaching profession into light and where it sits in the game.
So what are the challenges in your role of making progress? Because the people I speak to, you're fighting really hard and you're doing your best, but I assume sometimes it feels like you're walking through quicksand. Is that accurate?
Well, I think there is a challenge. It's a different construct to the Players Association and how it's set up. But I think what we're trying to do is just build the facts as much as we can. And that's around talking to coaches, spending time with people that are in footy clubs, and really trying to diagnose what are the issues in coaching, and then also try and bring some solutions. So I think our way is around, there's not going to be change unless everyone sort of leans into this. And now I think the game has signed their media deal. We know who the next CEO is. Tasmania is, you know, how it is. So I think now it's turning to, you know, the coaching profession, and are they healthy? Is it attractive? Is it a good role? And then how we support them as well.
Well, you talk to them every day. How demanding has the job become in recent times? Mm. I think that 5 years ago was a different discussion to what it is today. How difficult a job is it? How demanding?
It's very relentless and very challenging. I think what the coaches say is we're appreciative of it and we're humble and, you know, we understand the importance of it. But the consistent view from coaches that are going really well and coaches that are really struggling is the challenge of the relentlessness of it. And, you know, you talk, you know, Ross Lyon coming in talking about the increased media scrutiny since he's come. Craig McRae on Monday night was talking around, and he's going as well as anyone, and he's just talking about the relentless nature of it. So that for me is the most consistent thing. And so we're trying to be as objective as possible about that. There's nothing ambit about what we're saying, but, you know, we also then survey all the assistant and development coaches. So, you know, we talk about, well, tell us about your work-life balance. So in 2019, pre-COVID, 60% of all the coaches said, you know, I've got a good work-life balance. We did that survey last year, and that's gone down to 26%. And then we've gone, can you continue to work at this current workload? In 2019, that was 70%. Last year, it's gone down to 32%. So they're big drops. They're never going to be at 90, or it's 100, it's elite sport. But they're the things and they're the facts that we're going, we really need to look at how we're looking after this profession.
And I think that's a valid discussion, Cornsey and Al, because most people, when you think about talking about coaching and the job, you just talk about the senior coach. You don't really talk about those underneath. We were just chatting before. Those that have come out of the game in the last 4 to 5 years, the numbers of player jumping straight into coaching has dwindled big time.
I think people are absolutely. And I think that's something that is an actual longer-term concern for the game, because who is the next Damien Hardwick? And, you know, who is the next Alistair Clarkson? So it's important for the overall point of the game. But we've got, you know, only a handful of guys that have left the game in the last 5 years that are filling those assistant coaches' roles. Sean Grigg, people like that. But then we've also got a lot of guys that are also choosing different paths, whether it's in the media or maybe just dipping their toe in at a development or part-time level. So I think this is that's why this is a really important discussion. Okay, we've got to start changing the mindset about how we're thinking about coaches and the coaching direction and pathway. So it does, you know, they are healthy, but it is an attractive role.
Do you think the AFL and Gillon McLachlan care enough about the assistant coaches?
Well, I think, you know, this week has probably shown just how important it is to care about it. And I think, you know, you talk to senior coaches. The one thing I think coming into this role, which as sort of I've thought about as much, is just how much the senior coaches talk about their importance of their panel and their assistant coaches. So I think the AFL's view needs to push those things together more and more. So a senior coach and his assistant panel is almost one and the same. So, you know, we do need to increase the focus and the support for them.
How is it that a contract isn't a contract when you're a coach? And at some clubs with this 6-month clause, I can't get my head around how that can actually be. It would never be the case for a player that you could sign a 4-year deal and the club is only required to pay out 6 months if they no longer require you. How has this been let slip through, Alistair?
Well, I think that's something that occurred, you know, several years ago. And I think it was in reaction to, you know, some of the practices around payouts to coaches. But I think it's gone too far. And so you make a good point around, you know, a coach may sign a 4-year deal, but it really is only a 6-month deal. Mm. And that's in an incredibly volatile media scrutiny industry. So I think that is absolutely something that the game needs to have a look at. If I go into a coaching group, whether it's development, coaches and the whole coaching panel, say, what's one of your biggest issues? It's job security. And they go, if it doesn't work or the game style doesn't work, okay, fine. But all these other things that, you know, impact the role and whether you can get moved out very quickly because of board upheaval or whatever else weighs down on our coaches. And so,
sorry to interrupt, but it could be the case that, and Richmond may not be one of the clubs because they're financially strong that have the clause, but Damien Hardwick stands down, the new coach could come in, bring all of his own people, and those 6 assistant coaches, and this is unrealistic, but it could happen, go, and the club only has to pay out 6 months. I just don't understand. So when you give the AFL that feedback, what do they say?
So the feedback is that's something that we're, you know, in active conversations around looking at. What we've tried to do is also then try to come up with, say, some solutions. I think the easy thing is to say everyone needs a full payout. But it's also actually going, well, maybe there's some phasing of this. So if a coach signs a 4-year deal and they get moved on after 6 months or 12 months, maybe they then get 50% of their contract. So there's just a little bit more protection for coaches who may have moved interstate, whatever else. And I actually think that's really important because it actually provides some more accountability to clubs. So, you know, so that boards have actually got some more scrutiny on making some of these big decisions. Because as you guys know, this takes time. Like you look at what Matty Nix is doing in Adelaide or Justin Longmuir, like they're sort of 4 years in. These things take time. And that's the biggest lesson that came out, I think, with Damien Hardwick this week, as in they stuck with him and they got to where they wanted to go.
So just to cut to the chase. So we've seen Clarko's had separate pressures than the norm. And we've got Damien Hardwick, obviously, is front of mind at the moment. We're talking about Adam Simpson through the course of this week, the pressure that he's under. And I speak to coaches that are genuinely in a state of stress. Are you worried that this is just the tip of the iceberg?
I am worried. You know, as I said, we survey our coaches and, you know, we ask them, you know, how would you rate your mental health? And, you know, that level is sort of 40% are saying that it's average or below. Now, we're in elite sport and, you know, it is coaching. So, you know, there are pressures. But, you know, I am concerned that it's something that, you know, the stress going through with the media scrutiny, the demands. And the senior coaches will talk about the resources underneath them. And I think that's where, you know, conversations around the level of soft cap and things like that are important to be having. But then also, what are the things around the edges for coaches, as we've talked about termination clauses, or whether we have a better transition plan as they exit the industry and things like that?
What about holidays? What about mandated breaks? Like the discussion at the West Coast at the moment about Adam Simpson having 3 months off, I mean, that should not be a shock to all of us. Not that every coach can have three. You shouldn't have. Yeah. Not everyone's going to have 3 months off at the end of every year, but a sustained break that they just don't seem to get.
It's very, very hard to get because we roll into trade and we roll into draft and things like that. So it is a challenge, but it is something that we've talked about, and especially also for, you know, development assistant coaches.
So what, are you demanding that? Are you demanding
Yeah, we
change?
Have, and it's consistent. What we've talked about is let's have some consistent standards across every club, because it's not rocket science to give people a break. So this is specifically around off-season. So... Yeah. And it's sort of representative of what I think needs to happen with the coaching profession is there's just some things that can happen consistently rather than every club doing it slightly differently for whatever reason. So challenge for the senior coaches and leave, but I think there's some sort of minimum standards for the rest of the group that, you know, we've tried to put in place and we really need to embed year on year.
We've seen sporting leagues, I guess, take strike action. And there's been conversations around that with CBA negotiations between players and the AFL. Look, if it broke down, this is what we may do. And if it gets to this, is there any conversation around the coaches joining together and having strike action if it doesn't get the result that you need? Well, what's the next lever you could pull?
That's a very extreme measure. What we're trying to do at the moment is actually go, how are we going to make this better? And I think that the value of the coaches is probably they're undervalued, and actually get the industry to engage on that. So, as I said before, it's a different construct to, say, a player association. But, you know, I think what we need as an industry to be changing our perception of coaches and the coaching profession, and to get that traction, that needs to involve everyone. So, you know, I think... where the AFL sees the AFL industry sees an issue and a problem, and where there's people involved, I think that needs to be more of the driver rather than some of those extreme actions.
So, in short, the Coaches Association, is it a strong enough body to demand this off-cap change? Because there's been a lot of talk, and we've done this, not with you, with previous people as well, you know, demanding change, demanding this, demanding that, and nothing seems to have happened. I mean, it's down 20% on 2 years ago, which is a big number, and these coaches are trying to grab back 3, 4, 5 hours a week. They need more staff to do that, which will help flow on into all those other things you've mentioned. Are you strong enough as a body to get this done?
I think that's a challenge for the organisation, but I think... the way we're set up, I think clubs are really important in this because clubs are the employers of the coaches. Mm. So, and I think, you know, where we start to see some of these clubs going, well, we want to be able to look after our people as much as possible. So I think there's some connection with what we're trying to do and the clubs. And then I think, you know, it's also laddering up to the importance of the issue for, say, the AFL Commission as they look over the sport. So I think it's, you know, and particularly in recent times, now's the time that some of these things are very much on the table to be pushing. So we're going to continue to be consistent about that because this is what our members are saying, but also because I think it's good for the game that we've got, you know, a healthy coaching pathway.
Cornsy, we were just talking prior to coming on air. So the average assistant coach would be somewhere between 150 and 200 a year, okay, the full-timer. That's not necessarily as attractive a proposition as to go out and start your own business and get on with life. Mm. These guys are high achievers. So to get the best staying in the game, that figure needs to be elevated. Now, how you do that, there's challenges everywhere. Mm. But in isolation, we might be in trouble for the best prospect senior coaching in 4 to 5 years.
We've already seen that. We've already seen good people leave, haven't we? I completely agree with you. And the hours that they work with the lack of security in the job, I mean, there's significant issues for these people. We see it most days. Is every coach a member of the Coaches Association?
So we've got sort of 98 sort of percent membership, which is really good for an association. If you look at some of those stats in regard to those broader organisations in society, so no, we've got good support. And I think the thing is we're talking to every coach as well. So, you know, AFLW is important in coaching as well. So we will increase our AFLW membership this year. And, you know, and that's another area where we go, well, you know, how are we looking after coaches that are going into that side of it? Because it's also important to the strategic objectives of the game. So the more that AFLW, the product of that, can improve, and as the players become more professional, the more we've got to improve that. So coaching's important everywhere.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for stopping by on what has been a big week for the industry.
Thanks, Kane.
Go get that 20%, Al.
Alistair Nicholson there, the AFL Coaches Association CEO. We'll be back after this.